So we get in the gospel message the promise of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will be with the people, the believers, the church, the people of God who believe in the resurrection, in such a way that they will know all that Jesus wants them to know. The Spirit will be an advocate, a helper, so that they can understand the truth. The Spirit is advocate in this situation means helper. Another translation is paraclete, one who, para is through or another way, and the cleat is, I don't remember exactly, I'm trying to pull this off the top of my head because I didn't think about it, but basically one who helps us through things, through the situations. So the Spirit is our helper. And the Spirit helps us individually and collectively. It helped the people of the early church to have the courage to go out. It gave them the fortitude and the perseverance to be able to declare that which at times put their lives in danger. Something that was definitely new and different. I mean, come believe in this person who rose from the dead. And this resurrected person, his gifts will give you peace and hope and healing and joy and comfort. And that's so true. It is so true, but for us who are after the fact, we can know this. We intellectually know it. We've heard it along the way. We've seen it in others. We maybe, hopefully, have seen it in our own lives too. The thing is, we have to believe that it'll continue to help us individually and collectively, that the Holy Spirit is still with us. Excuse me. That the Spirit is still with us individually and with the church. Not just then, but still today, inspiring us. Inspiring us through the centuries that have come between the time that Jesus rose from the dead and gifted the Holy Spirit till today. The last session for the confirmation group that I'm leading right now, we spoke about the history of the church. And that's the history of the institutional church. Yeah, that those are kind of the things we hit upon as benchmarks. But what I was really trying to present to the group that gathers on Tuesday nights is that the church, the history of the church is the history of the people of God. That the church, remember, church is not a building. Church is not an institution. Church is not the pastors and the priests and the bishops and the bells and the whistles and the, I mean, that's all a part of the way that the church worships. It's part of the way that the church organizes itself. But the church is more than the organization. The church is more than the ritual. The church is the people of God. It's the group of people called by God through Jesus' death and resurrection by the Holy Spirit to love the Father and to serve the Father and to glorify the Father. And in doing so, or as a way of doing that, serving our brothers and sisters, serving one another. It's in glorifying God by lifting those around us up, helping them out, listening to their stories, meeting their material needs, being with them, just trying to have a holy presence. And in doing that, yes, we've organized, and yes, we've ritualized, but that's the history. I mean, we've been doing that for 2,000 years, and we'll continue to do it until the kingdom fully comes, when the kingdom is fully realized. And the Spirit is also helping us to get there. Because we keep falling short. Someday, we will all love and we will all respect and we will all glorify and we will all serve the way we are supposed to, the way we are called to. And then the kingdom will be fully realized. The Holy Spirit helps us to do that, and the Holy Spirit helps us to continue to improve. The Holy Spirit helps us to continue to follow this call to give us that which we need to answer this universal call to holiness. So we, the people of God, and as I was speaking about the history of the church, and I highlighted institutional church and ritual church, What I was trying to do then, and what I'm trying to speak to toward today, is that it's a history of the people of God moving along. And as they move along from the resurrection until the kingdom fully realized, yeah, we've organized and we've ritualized, but it's mostly about the people. Okay, so the people. People moving along in their quest for holiness toward the full realization of the kingdom, starting with Jesus' resurrection. People, you and me, the world of believers, moving along. The Holy Spirit helps us to do that. The Holy Spirit helps us as a community and as individuals to put one foot in front of the other in this path of holiness. It helps us by inspiring us, giving us the courage about which Hans was speaking last week, giving us the humility about which I was speaking a couple weeks ago. It gives us the wisdom to understand. The Spirit helps scientists. The Spirit helps all of the scientists, whether it's the soft scientists, the socialists, sociologists, the psychologists, the theologians. The Holy Spirit helps the hard scientists, the chemists, the biologists, the doctors, the science. The Holy Spirit helps all of that with wisdom. Holy Spirit helps the teachers so that we can teach, so we can inspire. The Holy Spirit helps us to meet others, again, with humility, with love, in service. The Holy Spirit helps us to be in wonder and to be in awe. As the mountains tremble and they smoke, as the psalmist speaks about, but to be in the awe of the beautiful day, or of the soft rain, or of the flower, or of the transformation of the worm into the butterfly, of the seed into the glorious oak tree. You know, to be in awe of sunrises and sunsets, to be amazed by the birth of a child and the fragility of old age. The Holy Spirit helps us when we are burying and when we are birthing and when we are living the days in between. So the Holy Spirit helps us individually and communally. And I was speaking about how the Spirit has been with us communally to the confirmation group. I want to bring that up to all of us. Has the church been perfect in the last 2,000 years? Hell no. Just like we as individuals have not been perfect in our lives. The church has made, as an institution, some pretty big mistakes, and will probably make mistakes in the future. But we're trying. We're seeking the Holy Spirit to guide us, to set aside our ego, and to help us to embrace the notion of service of others, to set aside power and to be servant, to set aside wealth or material things. The whole thing about, like, in the years past when the church was worried about land and about power and about authority, to realize that the teaching authority is not an over above pushing down subjugating authority, but a helpful, an inspiring, an empowering form of teaching authority, that we continue to try to make the best decisions for the people who are church. Those in leadership, that they try to make the best decisions for those whose governance they're entrusted. I want to make this very real, very contemporary. We've been struggling the last 18 months with how to be church in this time of COVID. Where we're at now, I mean, this the last couple of months was really weighing heavily on my heart and mind. I'm quite sure it was laying heavily on the members of the council as we were trying to figure out how can we meet the spiritual needs of the people who pray better inside. The people who are concerned, I wouldn't say frightened, but concerned about pandemic issues. How can we meet these needs? How can we get the preaching? How can we get the music ministry? How can we get the community, the social aspect of it put together with everything? And it's been stressful. But you know what we did? We prayed. We sought out the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who is still with us as a paraclete, as a helper. And we came up with an answer that we think works. And kudos to the council member who suggested this hybrid model. Great wisdom there on her part. Great wisdom on the council and finding a way to manifest church at Salem in 2021 for the summer of it. That we can do this. And we've tried and we've succeeded largely, I believe, over the last 18 months. But where we're at now, how can we meet these needs? And compliments to the way that the council prayed and discerned and figured this out. Those of you who are on the council, thank you for this. Those of you who are not on the council, thank your council members for the way that they guide us as a church. I asked you to pray for them, and I believe you did. And the Holy Spirit visited them with wisdom. And we were able to come up with the decision that I think will really work well. I'm excited to see what next weekend and the summer brings to us. So the Holy Spirit, who comes, who is sent to us by the Son, from the Father and the Son. Next week in the confirmation, we're going to go through the creed and we'll talk a little bit about this controversy, about from where the Holy Spirit comes and what was decided in the early church as what Revelation showed to us. And this passage will help us out with that. Anyway, kind of an aside there, but those of you who are in the confirmation process, now there's a little foretaste, a little teaser about just one part of the whole conversation we'll have this Tuesday. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit truly is guiding us, figuring out the best way to be church. Going forward, we'll need to continue to ask the Holy Spirit to be our helper. How we can collectively be church together, and each of us individually will also need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. What do you have going on in your lives coming up here? Pray for wisdom. In the relationships that you have, pray for wisdom. Pray for courage. Pray for hope. Pray for perseverance. Pray for the special gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of tongues, the gift of teaching. Maybe you are one who wants to do some preaching and speak to me about being a guest preacher on our fourth Sundays. You could also speak to a council member about that if that's easier. But we can see how the Spirit guides us into the way of being church collectively, guides us in being individuals, holy individuals, trying for saintliness. The Holy Spirit will guide us in this. So let's pray for the Spirit of Truth. Let's pray for the Advocate. Let's pray for the one who renews the face of the earth, renews our lives, who comes to us and speaks to us, each of us and all of us. So let's pray. Lord God, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are with us. Your name means I am who am. Your Son is called Emmanuel, God with us. Your Spirit promised to be with us. So ever-present and ever-loving God, help us to be aware that you are with us. today, tomorrow, every day of our lives, in our past, how you are with us. Until that day when we get to be with you, completely, fully. Maybe it'll be when the kingdom comes, maybe it'll be when we come to the kingdom, but Lord, we desire to be holy as individuals and as church, and your Spirit will help us with that. Send us your Spirit. Thank you for the times that you have sent your Spirit. And we praise you as our triune God forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is a prayer, again asking the Spirit to fill us. It's number 383 if you've got the hymnal. It's called Fill Me Now. If you are online, click the next link. In the refrain, I don't quite get the way the composer wrote the song, because the verses are addressed about the Holy Spirit coming to us, and then the chorus goes in with Jesus fill me. To me, it should be Spirit fill me. So if you're able to replace the word Jesus in the refrain with the Spirit, so it is asking Spirit fill me now. All right, that's our hymn. You've got the rest of the liturgy, and then we are sent into this world. I will see you next week if we don't talk between now and then. God bless every one of us, as he continually does with his Holy Spirit, with the presence of his resurrected Son, and with his everlasting love. Peace to you all. Bye now.